What James does is, we talked about last week that there's a lot of problems or issues that James has been dealing with all the way from James chapter 1. And so when you get to chapter 4 and verse 13, now he deals with a person who thinks he knows something that he doesn't. He presumes that he has the resources to control his destiny. In other words, he thinks that money, if I got a lot of money, that's going to get me to heaven. I can buy my way to heaven. No, it doesn't work that way. And so as we look at this, James, he begins to talk. He says in verse 13, he says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." Now what you see here is that James is not condemning. He's not condemning wise business planning. No, that's not what he is condemning. But what he's condemning is planning that leaves God out. How many times that we have made a plan for something, and we say, you know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to take care of this, and I'm going to take care of that, without even saying if the Lord's will. And so many times we find ourselves, and that's what was going on here. They was making plans, but they were leaving God out of the plan. They were living their lives and making their plans as if God doesn't even exist. And so we see here, so such conduct James is addressing is inconsistent. It's inconsistent is with genuine faith which submits to God. So James, he goes on and says, now this is what you need to be saying. Even though you're saying today I'm going to do this, I'm going to make plans for that. No, this is what you need to be including in what you are planning. So he says in verse 14, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it'll vanish away." Now notice what he said. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We're making those plans, but we don't know whether we're going to be here to see tomorrow. We don't know whether we're going to be here to see the rest of even tonight. And so we have to understand. So he begins to use an illustration about life. In Proverbs chapter 27, and verse 1, Proverbs 27 and verse 1, it has something to say to us. Now notice what he said. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow." Why is that? "For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Don't go up there and say, "This is what I'm going to do tomorrow." You don't know whether you're going to be here to see tomorrow. And so James said, listen, because your life is nothing but a what? That was a vapor. A vapor, what he's talking about? He's talking about just a puff of smoke. Just a mist. That's your life. That's your life. And so God alone knows the future. We don't know what the future holds. But God knows. And so he says it's just a vapor, just one breath that appears for a moment. And what happens? It vanishes away. That's the nature of life. How many times we've seen somebody here yesterday, but they're not here today? That's our life. And there are those who was here this morning. And no doubt they are not here right now. Why? That's life. Life is nothing but a vapor. All right? So it appears for a little time and then it'll vanish away. And so what this is saying, y'all, is that we don't even know whether we'll be alive tomorrow. We don't know whether we're going to be alive the rest of this night. That's why James was always saying you need to make sure that you are living the life God wants you to live, because you don't know when you're going to leave this world. And so it's very important, because our life is of God. And so man's days are numbered. That was Psalms 90 and verse 10. You know, teach us to what? Number our day. Our days are numbered. And so we need to understand that. Man's, so we got to understand, you know, Jesus even made, he used an illustration. Y'all remember about the rich man? About what he was doing. If, look over there. You remember over there in Luke chapter 12? You know, he had a great harvest, didn't he? But notice what happens when you get to about verse 17 of Luke chapter 12. He said, and he thought within himself. Now, listen to this. He had a great year. And he was deciding, man, what am I going to do with all of this harvest that I have? And so he thought within himself, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow what? My goods. So he was thinking, man, I don't know. You know, what am I going to do? And there's nothing wrong with that, man. You got a great harvest. Man, I got to look around. What am I going to do, man? Where am I going to put all of this harvest that I got? Thank God. But watch what he said. Now this is where he messes up. He says, and this will what? I do. I will put down my barns, and I'm going to build greater and bigger barns, and I'm going to say to my soul, man, you have much good laid up. Take it easy. You don't have to worry about anything. But what did he do? What was the one mistake that he made? He left God out. He left God out of the equation. But look what God said unto him. You are a fool. This night, your soul is required. Now he asks the question, now, whose stuff is going to be now? You can't take it with you. So who is it now? All of this stuff that you have gathered, what you going to do? You didn't get a chance to do it, because he said, this night, that soul is required. So listen, we don't have control of how long we live. None of us. God does. And so what do we need to be doing in the meantime? Make good of today. Because today might be the last day that you have. Make every opportunity. And so now he said, now this is what you should have been saying in verse 15. Go back to James chapter 4. In verse 15. For that you ought to say what? If the Lord's will, we shall live and do this and do that. How many of us have, and let's be honest, how many of us has made plans and then we didn't say if the Lord's will? We just went on and made plans. Have we been guilty of that? We might well say yes. That we go on and make plans, but then we ought to be more conscious. I'm more conscious now by saying now, if the Lord's will. Because I don't know. You know, my will, you know, is this way. But God's will may say something else. So if the Lord's will, I do this, and I will do that. And so what that means is, when you talk about if the Lord's will, the Christian, you submit to his plan of lordship. You know that, you know, it's God's will. It's God's plan. I don't think like God. Why is that? Isaiah said it a long time ago. My ways are not your ways, said the Lord. My thoughts are not your thoughts. We don't think like God does. Our ways are not like God. And so we need to be saying, if the Lord's will. And so God has something for you and I to do. All right? As Christians. And so what James is making, what he's talking about here, James is basically condemning those who make plans, but they omit God. They leave God out of the plan. And then he says, when you look at verse 16, he says, but now ye rejoice in your what? Boasting. You're bragging about it. What you gonna do? And so all such rejoicing is what? Evil. Well, why is that? In other words, when you look at this word boasting, it has the idea of bragging about your accomplishment. This is what I've accomplished. This is what I did. This, you know, I bought this and I got this. And we're always bragging. And so he said, listen, James says that boasting about these things, rejoicing in your boasting is what? Your rejoicing is evil. Because you just, why should we boast? Why should we boast? We ought to boast because of the fact, how good God is. That's what we need to boast about. God has been good to me. God has blessed me. God has brought me through this. And God has brought me through that. And we know that God has control over everything. We know that. That he has control over everything. And not only everything, but everyone. You know. And so we got to understand, God controls you. He controls me. Everything that we have, God control. Why? Because he owns everything. He owns the cattle on the thousand hills. And so we got to understand, there is no room for boasting because we don't even control our lives. And so ain't no need of going around boasting. So knowing this, what we need to be doing? Humbling ourselves. We need to be humbling ourselves. And so he says then, he concludes this in verse 17 by saying, therefore. Now what he just said, therefore, he just got through talking about what he just got through talking about. And so he concludes it by saying, therefore, to him that knoweth to what? Do good. To do good. So here, right here, requires including God in one's plan. All right? Omitting God is bad planning. Because he says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is what? Sin. So what's the implication? That they also did what they shouldn't do. How many times we find ourselves doing things that we shouldn't be doing? Okay. So everybody in here holy. You ain't nothing done. You haven't never done anything bad or anything wrong. And so we got to understand that all of us have messed up somewhere along the line. We've all been guilty. Well, why is that? Because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark. And so we got to understand, we all have done something that we know that we shouldn't have done. Paul even struggled with that, right? When I'm trying to what? When I'm trying to do what's right, I find myself what? Doing what's wrong. Are we been guilty of that? When we've been trying to do what's right, we find ourselves end up doing what's wrong. And so we got to understand. And so he says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not is a sin. Sin is anything displeasing to God. It's anything displeasing to God. And so the sin here is knowing what you need to be doing, but you don't do it. Knowing you need to be doing what's right, but you find yourself not doing what's right. And so James, he ends up by saying to, therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And so what James does now is that James, he begins to take us, as we go to chapter 5. In James chapter 5, the objective of James chapter 5, and there is handouts back there when you, if you go out, they'll be there. The objective of James chapter 5 is to appreciate the need for patience in times of oppression. That's one objective that we're going to see in James chapter 5, is the need to appreciate the need for patience in times of oppression. But also the objective that we're going to see in James chapter 5 is to see the value of prayer. Confessing sins in times of sickness. And we'll look at that in the latter part. And so James chapter 5 is in two sections. The first section, it deals with true religion displays patience under oppression. And that's verse number 1 through verse number 12. That's what we're going to be looking at first in our first session. Verse 1 through verse 12. We're going to be seeing verse 1 through 6. We're going to see God's anger at rich oppression. And then we're going to see verse 7 through 12, a call for patience under oppression. And then the second section that we'll look at as we'll be concluding James chapter 5 is true religion blessed through prayer, singing, and concern for the errant. That true religion is blessed through prayer, singing, concern for the errant. And so we'll see in verse 13 through 18 the blessings of prayer and songs. And then we'll end up seeing the blessings of love for errant brothers. Again, the handouts is there in the back. So when you look at verse 1 through 6, he's going to be dealing with the rich. The rich man. You remember that James, he commonly addresses brethren. You remember anytime you seen brethren, what did that mean? He was starting a new topic, right? And so you're not going to see that. It's not found in this session, in this section, verse 1 through 6. You're not going to see that. But you're going to see it pick back up. We'll look at it in verse 7. All right? In verse 7. And so James is addressing now the wealthy. Those that got money. The unsaved Jews who have poor Jews working for them. So that's what James is addressing. Why? Because they have mistreated the poor. Is that something that's going on today? See, stuff that we're looking at from the Word of God, it's nothing new. All right? Because these are some things that is going on now. And so they mistreated the poor, so God's judgment is going to fall on them. That's what we're going to see. All right? So let's look at James chapter 5 and verse 1. He starts out by saying, Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. See, a lot of times people think with money and stuff, you know, a lot of money and they're rich and millionaire and billionaire, they think that, hey, they're going to get away. If I mistreat and I do people wrong, hey, that's all right. I got plenty of money. I can buy them. And again, that's what we say at the earth. They think they can buy their way to heaven. Money can't buy everything. Money can't buy, you know, it can't buy happiness. And a lot of things. And so he's looking at that. He says now, go to now ye rich. Now, what is he talking about? Those with more than they need to live. You know, and so James, he condemned them not for being wealthy. It's all right. It's all right if you got money. It's all right to be wealthy. But watch this. Misusing your resources. All right? So we're going to see this. We're going to see this. Notice what, you remember what Timothy said? To the congregation in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's go to it. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And around about verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And he says there in verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. He said, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach, unto whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Look at verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not what? High-minded. Nor trust in uncertain riches. In other words, they are trusting in their riches. And so he said, look, don't be lifted up with pride. Just because, you know, you have gotten this place, don't be looking down on everybody else. And so he says, and he goes on and he says, but in the who? Living God. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And so what James is dealing with is wealthy. He's dealing with people who have money, who profess Christian faith. They profess it, but they have associated themselves with the church, but their real God is money. They claim to be Christians. But the Bible said, Timothy even said what? The love of what? Money. Money is not evil. But it's how you use it. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so this is what was going on. And so the rich man that is spoken of here is the rich man who has no regard for somebody else. They don't have no regard for others. I'm wealthy. I don't care about you. I don't care about you. I don't care about you. I'm wealthy. They have no regard for others. And this will also be a rich man that will be cruel to his employees. Don't we have that now? They cruel. They mistreat them any kind of way. Because they can. All right, and so this also is, it would be a man who would push any of his fellow men down to acquire riches. In other words, I bring you down so I can gain. They have no regard for others. And so we got to understand. So the only problem this man has is not just that he is rich, but is the fact of what he is doing with his wealth. That's the problem. And so notice what he says. The misery. Y'all see that in verse number one? Go back to James. He talks about the misery. So the misery that will come upon him are for the way that he treats his fellow man. That's why, y'all, it doesn't matter whether you got money or whether you don't. You got to be careful how you treat folks. And so you know, as Christians, and we see that we're going to have to give an account of that. And so we see this. And so James goes on. Watch what he does. He goes on when you get to James, to verse number 2. He says, after he says, now go to now ye rich men and weep and howl for your miseries that shall come up on you. What James does in verse 2 and 3 is that James points out the folly of hoarding food and expensive clothing and money. Why? Because all of it is subject to decay. Not only is it subject to decay, but guess what? Thieves, fire, and so, you know, other forms of losses. And we got a scripture, talking about that, you know, when we put our trust in all of these things will, you know, they'll fade away. They'll fade away. And so we see this. So he says now, look what he says in verse 2. After he said, listen, you're wealthy, but look at how you are using your money. You are treating your fellow man wrong. You're doing all this, but watch what he says in verse 2. Your riches are what? Corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. So notice that. So the rich man here, you know, he obtained the riches, but what he's dealing with, that many times he attained them in a corrupt way, in a corrupt manner. In other words, this is a man who puts his wealth ahead of everyone and everything. Don't we see that today? It's real. So it's real. So it's not the riches that are evil, y'all, but the use of the riches that corrupts man. And so he goes on and he deals with this rich man, this man who is wealthy, and this man who is rich, this man who is looking down on everybody and mistreating everybody. Number one, he said, listen, your riches are corrupt. But notice what he said, your garments, even your clothes. But then he goes on in verse 3, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and ye shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last day. So we see here in verse 3 that this rich man is spoken about is the one that he's dealing with in verse number 1. And two, what he's doing with his money. So what he's doing is he's putting his faith in what? Silver and gold. The question comes, are we putting our faith in money? Are we putting our faith in material things? Or are we putting our faith in God? That's the question. So that's what he's doing. He's putting his faith in silver and gold. Y'all listen, that's no security. Money is no security. I mean, y'all had, you had money one day and then you didn't have nothing the next day. That tells you that money is not security. You can have it and you can lose it. You know, I think back in Haggai. You know, you got money just like a bag with hole in it. You put it in there and guess what? It comes right on back out. And so we see here that the rich man is spoken of to is the one who is putting his faith in the gold and in the silver rather than in God. Listen. All of the gold and silver, I don't care how much you accumulate in this world, will not save a person from the wrath of God. In Matthew 16 and verse 26, what is a man profiting? If he should what? Gain the whole world, but lose his own soul. But then he asked another question. What exchange can you give? You can't exchange money. God owns it. So he's saying your soul ought to be the precious thing. Because if you lose your soul, you've lost everything. And so he see here. So it's not wrong, y'all, to own, to have silver and gold. But it's how you use it. It's how you use it. In Matthew chapter 6, as we kind of close down, bear fixing the rain. Matthew chapter 6, we'll stop here after we read this. Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21. He says, lay not for yourselves treasures, where? Upon the earth. Where what? Moth and rust doeth corrupt. Where thieves break through and steal. But where you need to be laying it up at. Lay it up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where neither moth nor rust do corrupt. Where thieves do not break through nor steal. But then he concludes by saying, here it is. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God knows where your heart is. He knows that. And so you know, yes, we can fool people. We can fool people all the time. But that's not who you need to be worrying about. You need to be worrying about God. You can't fool God. God knows all about you. God knows your heart. You know, you can put on that, come in on Sunday, holy, and now God already knows it. He knows why you're sincere. He knows what your motive is. He knows all about you. And so that's why we have to answer. So that's why we have to be careful. And so he, as we go back to chapter 5 and put your marker there. We're going to pick up with verse number 3. We'll finish up that. I have a few more things to talk about, and then we'll go to verse number 4. And so again, things that we've talked about, go back and read these things. Go back and just look at James chapter 1 and start back over. And you'll be amazed at what you have. Again, you'll see something that you didn't see before. Read from there to where we're at right now. All right?